All right, welcome back. Second half hour of tonight's show, and Frank and I have agreed we're going to be upbeat in the second half hour. I think we were reflective of being down in the dumps over that tough loss on Saturday. Before Frank introduces our next guest, Ryan Keel, we just want to make reference to next week's show. We really have a special show. We have friend of the program, former football linebacker John Copper. And we have a very special guest next week, head basketball coach Tony Bennett, joining us for the first time this year to take a look at the basketball season, which as of next Monday will only be 11 days away
First game is away at JMU on November 14th,
right?
Which will be a very exciting night in Harrisonburg, and I plan to be there. All right, so looking ahead to Georgia Tech and Atlanta this coming Saturday, 3:30 game. Virginia has lost two games since the bye week. Maybe we shouldn't have had a bye this year.
Keep playing. Stop taking those weeks
off. In the future, no more bye weeks. Ryan Keel is going to join us now. Ryan was a terrific defensive lineman, played with a guy named Crickbaum, and I think he overlapped with Mike Frederick as well. So a couple of brutes. I mean, nobody could run the ball against Virginia in those days. Wish these guys still had some eligibility because they kind of reminded me of the old Chicago Bears defensive line with Hampton and those guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Ryan, thank you for joining us tonight. And glad to see that you could come back on the show this year.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, those were good days back in Virginia with Mike and Mark. And we were really talented. George and Rick Lance and all those guys, coaches at Mark Marcos and Bob Petchel, they all recruited us in there. And we had a good run with a good group of guys. And knew what we stood for and knew how to play defense, that's for sure.
And I bet you went to class and studied, too.
Absolutely. Got through the McIntyre School, so I had to do it.
There were no phantom classes with professors that weren't there, right?
Exactly right,
it's like,
yeah.
I said about the Carolina kids.
You always knew there was something fishy going on down there.
know, the Carolina kids may only have third-grade reading levels, but they have good football smarts, apparently. You know,
apparently they do. That's right. Apparently they do.
We're not going to beat them up too much because I think the rest of the media are doing a good enough job on that.
Yeah. Plus they beat us last week, so we can't. There's nothing much to crow about right now.
Yeah, you can't be happy about losing by one lousy point. All right, Ryan, you today are working for Under Armour, and tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll spin back in a moment and talk about the UVA defense, which seems to be doing pretty darn well this year.
Yeah. Under Armour's been going great. I've been there since I retired from the NFL almost 6 years ago now, and we've had a good run. We sort of, much like our teams back with George, we sort of keep our heads down and work hard, and again know what we stand for, and just really try to do things the right way. And we've had good success with that to date. And I don't think any of us that are involved there feel any differently tomorrow about in terms of what we think we can accomplish. So we've got big plans ahead, and as long as we continue to sort of do the right things, we feel like we can accomplish those things.
UVA defense.
Yeah.
Have demonstrated most of the time that they're pretty stout against the run. They're reliable against the pass. Obviously Saturday, except for a few plays in the first half, Virginia did a pretty darn good job of keeping Marquise Williams in check, and they prevented him from winning the Heisman against us. But talk about the Virginia defense and what you notice from afar.
You know, I think that I've watched a fair amount of games this year, and I've been very proud of the way the defense has played. It's, it's all about in football. I've always felt like, identity is a big thing. And I think for a few years there on both sides of the ball, I'm not sure we knew what our identity, what we wanted to be. And I feel like on defense this year, they have an idea that we're going to stop the run, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to be fast. They seem to play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and that's sort of consistent throughout the year so far. And that's good. That means they're trying to build a culture, and they're trying to get an identity. And, Mike Archer's back there. Mike was there for a few years when I was back at UVA, and I know what kind of coach he is, and he believes in a lot of those things, and he helped us sort of get that defensive run going back like in, the early 90s into the mid-90s when we were really rolling on defense. So, knowing what you stand for and playing that way every week in and week out, kids are going to make mistakes, and that happens, especially when they're young and in college. But If you know what you stand for and you have an identity and you can sort of hang your hat on things, and a lot of those mistakes can tend to get put away in the wash. So I think they're doing well. I mean, Carolina's put up a lot of points. They put up a lot of points against Notre Dame, and they played them. That's a good team out there in South Bend. So we did all right. We'd like to see a win. I'd like to see to get a couple key stops on third down that they didn't be able to pull off Saturday. But all in all, they're coming along, I think, and they've got some talent, and that's the most important thing.
Visiting with former Wahoo, Ryan Keel. Ryan, when you play a team like Georgia Tech, an option team, how much difference do you have to change your game plan to get ready for the Yellow Jackets?
I think you got to change quite a bit, quite frankly. It's just a different scheme, and you don't see it every week. And most of that read option type stuff and spread, and quite frankly, how they run it. You just got the linemen have got us. We always used to, when we play those kind of things, we'd back off the ball a little bit so they can't cut you quite as easily, and you play a little bit more tentative, which is hard to sort of do. But you don't want to be so tentative you can't make a play. But if you're flying upfield, they'll gash you pretty good. So you really got to be able to run laterally, and your linebackers have got to run. You can't let the linemen get out to the linebackers. They've got to be able to run and help out. Then obviously everybody knows with option football, it's assignment football. And you got to trust that the guy who has the pitch has the pitch, the guy who has the quarterback has the quarterback, and the guy who has the dive has the dive. And if they can do that, play smart, not let the game get too big for them, they got a chance, because I think the athleticism's there to sort of be able to do that running side to sideline to sideline.
Ryan, talk a little bit about assignments necessary, particularly for the front seven.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between defending the pistol or defending that quarterback read option that so many teams are using today, where they offset one running back and then they're reading one or two players on the defense and they're just making their blocks, and he either gives it to the back or the jet sweep end or the quarterback keeps it against this wing bone thing that Paul Johnson runs. It's a completely different animal, isn't it?
Yeah, because you got the dive back, right? So, I mean, essentially out of the pistol or, type thing, when you're just reading the defensive end, it's a two-option play, right? They're going to give it to the tailback or running back, whatever you call him. They're going to read that end. If he crashes, the quarterback will pull it out and run to the edge. Well, in this situation, you've got the dive doing that, so you're going to get two out on the edge between the quarterback and then a pitch back. So, really, your corner support, your corner's got to beat the stock block on the wide receiver to come up and help. And then you really got to be strong on the alley. The alley's where the quarterback theoretically would like to, turn up the field or pitch to the running back, depending on, where the tight end is. You need that safety and outside linebacker, and then the middle linebacker's coming. So ideally, if you've got two strong defensive tackles, they can handle and the defensive end can handle the dive. And then you get the linebackers and the speed athletes out there on the edge to help with the quarterback and the pitch back.
Now, Frank will be impressed with this. Virginia used the nickel a lot this year against Georgia Tech. Do you change that personnel alignment?
I'm not quite sure the Tech personnel with regards to speed. Is it a bigger back or smaller back, or what the quarterback's like? I mean, you can, if they're depending on who it is, right? Like Harris is a pretty physical kid as a safety, so you can maybe walk him up and put another speed guy back there at safety and sort of play like a hybrid nickel. I'm not sure if in college if there's enough time to sort of put those things in, but in the pros we used to do some of that stuff, really play defenses based on your personnel. So depending on who you got, backing up Harris, you could maybe walk him up. You get a little bit more speed. Again, it comes down to, I'm an old D lineman, right? So you got to stop the dive first, and that takes some aggressiveness and size up front. But if you can do it with the two or three D linemen and let your linebackers and safeties, run, you can stop it.
You ever thought about doing broadcasting? You're really articulate. I tell you, you're a real credit to the University of Virginia football program, I'll tell you that.
Thank you very much. I did a little bit when I first retired. I did a little bit for the Redskins preseason stuff, but I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing. You never know. Maybe I'll come down and do some UVA games sometime.
I tell you what, based upon the analysis you just gave us, that was amazing. Ryan, we have got to jump to our doctor who's going to do the injury report, Dr. Glenn Kerr from Ortho Virginia. Quickly, do you recall a funny moment or an interesting moment or an exciting moment as a Cavalier athlete back in the day that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I mean, I can be pretty verbose in how I talk, tell my story, so I'll try to keep it short. But, I mean, truthfully, the big games, we're fortunate to have real good teams. And what you really remember once you retire and you stop playing, even, you know, I played fortunate enough to play 12 years in the NFL, but it's the guys you play with. And, you know, and for my, you know, down back in the UVA, it's Percy Ellsworth and Randy Neal and Posse and Mike and Mark, obviously, and those guys back in the 90s. That, you know, we really felt like we were a part of something special. And again, George and Obi and Rick Lance had such a way of building a culture, and it's really bled into my, you know, into my professional career, once playing and now in business, and just the idea of, you know, how you go about things and how you support each other and, you know, what's right and what's not. And George had a way of really getting that message across in his sort of cranky, awkward way. But you know, we all went to play hard for all the coaches and for each other and obviously for the school. But the big games against Clemson early, those were times, you know, back then where we didn't beat them a lot till sort of our wave of player came through. And those were always fun games to play against Clemson and Carolina, the two that I remember. And I remember used to, you know, it's funny nowadays, people don't think that UVA used to, you know, whoop up on Virginia Tech fairly frequently. But I think I lost them only one time. So we had good teams and good people, and it was a lot of fun to play there. And, you know, it's the four and a half years I'll never forget, and a big part of my life, and it's what led to me to where I am today.
Terrific. Well, I don't think anybody's ever said it any better than that, Hobbo.
I think we're going to have this gentleman back. That's for sure.
That's very nice.
We need to put you in the studio with us, breaking down every game.
Guys, be happy to help, and hopefully we'll get a big win this Saturday because we need one. We got to get the ball going on our way, and I 100% agree with you. I was just listening before I came on. The you know, buys come at bad times when you're playing well. That's the way we always used to look at it in the NFL.
I'd ask him a basketball question, but he'd make me look bad.
Tony's too good a coach, right? But it wasn't great, though, guys, when Virginia hoops. I'm sorry, I'm maybe going too long. When the team did so well last year, just the whole university. I'm fortunate enough to volunteer and be on the board with the VAF, and the you could really feel it was palpable, right? The emotion and the pride, the swelling of the pride by the alumni base and the students and stuff as the basketball team went well and went on that run in the spring. So, you know, it's just a great feeling, and the athletic department, you know, we should all be very proud of the teams that we put out there and Greg Littlepage and his staff put out there with the coaches. It's a great university, and the school's done wonderful for a lot of people, and the sports are just one aspect of it. But when they're going good, just like Virginia football was going earlier in the year, going good, and hoops did last year, it's a lot of fun to be a part of. I'm sure you guys have a blast.
Absolutely. Hear, hear to everything you've just said, Ryan. Thank you for joining us. All right, we're going to jump quickly, as Hobbo likes to say, pivot to Dr. Kerr. Dr. Glenn Kerr from Ortho Virginia has been patiently holding. Dr. Kerr, are you there?
I am.
Very good. Thank you for bearing with us. We had a wonderful visit from Ryan Keel, former Wahoo, and a terrific player in the NFL, and now an executive with some significant responsibilities at Under Armour. So it was good to have him on. So, Dr. Kerr, this is what we know. Unfortunately, today, former center, UVA center on the football team, Eric Tetlow, had shoulder surgery and is out for the year. I don't have any more scoop than that. The young man played his high school ball, I believe, at Mills Godwin.
Godwin High School, right.
And a terrific kid and was really showing a lot of promise this year. Also, during the game, everybody saw the play in the middle field where wide receiver Miles Gooch got hit on that dump pass over the middle, and something gave. I wasn't sure. I looked at replay three times, and it could have been a knee, it could have been an ankle, it could have been his shoulder. He went down hard and was writhing in pain, and we hope Miles Gooch is okay. Have you heard any other news through Jody Smith or anybody else there at Ortho Virginia?
I have not, and it, you know, it's always difficult to just watching things on TV or replays to tell exactly what was injured, and even certainly on the sidelines, it's sometimes difficult. And you know, often the contusions and simple injuries are ones that will resolve in 5 to 7 days, but the more serious ones, and I think more to follow to see how they're doing, how they're practicing this week, and how quickly they recover, are really going to speak to how serious that injury was.
One thing's for certain: the regular starting quarterback Grayson Lambert has recovered from that high ankle sprain. And so it was good to see him on the field, and he seemed to be moving pretty well. At the same time, I know that a number of players are dinged up, and that list is too long to go through now, but the loss of Tetlow at center and wide receiver Miles Gooch, that's going to free up plays for other players, but it means Virginia's a little bit thinner on the already battered offensive line. Let's talk about the typical shoulder surgery that you might see for a high school or college football player. What sort of injury do you typically see from football?
Certainly for linemen, the injuries are going to consist of the socket portion of the ball and socket of the shoulder is surrounded by a soft tissue gasket, and that's called the labrum, and that's what's often damaged. It's damaged in the back of the shoulder. Oftentimes, it can be damaged in the front if he dislocated the shoulder. And these are, you know, just from a soft tissue standpoint, will take 6 to 8 weeks to heal to be about 30 to 50% strength. But for him to get back out on the field, to get back into the gym, it's going to take a good 2 to 6 months, depending on how he rehabs and how well he heals up.
You know, I think that's probably a pretty darn good estimate. Tetlow had been putting on weight and become a little bit leaner in terms of his musculature. Gooch was having a terrific season, and we feel for him. If it was his knee, and a lot of people were speculating that in the press box, getting hit from the side like that and knocking him over like knocking over a fence post, in that type of situation, it probably would have been one of the ligaments on the side of his knee, wouldn't you think?
I would, and you know, it's so difficult, again, to watch that from a TV yep. standpoint of the sidelines, but the ligament on the side of the knee is one that potentially has the best chance of recovering without any type of surgery or intervention. The ligaments inside the knee, and those both go together oftentimes, the ACL or PCL, that often requires surgery and is going to be a much longer rehab and potentially the end of the season.
Well, I would tend to agree. Let's hope for Miles Gooch's sake that it was the side of the knee and not, you know, the MCL or the ACL, as you documented. Doctor, thanks again for being patient with us tonight. And as always, we appreciate not only your support, but your contributions on the air with us. And, you know, the ACC and the member schools now really restrict us on the information that we can get on the players. But I'll be doing some digging on both these players and try to get that information to everyone at Ortho Virginia. So anyway, listen, have a great night, and thank you for your support.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great night. All right, we're going to jump in, to our last break here tonight, and when we come back, we'll do the Olympic Sports Report and break down the Georgia Tech game. Stay with us.